He was opening that new ADHD centre in Oxford just a couple of weeks ago. And when I was there, I did meet several people who live with ADHD. One of those was Dan Lindebaum. He's 47 and had only recently, in the last few months, been diagnosed with the condition. But he always knew deep down something was just a little different with him.
I always struggled with schoolwork and with sort of social interactions with other children, as far back as I can remember.
Were you ever excluded from school?
No, I was never excluded, though at various points in my early years at school, there was something not quite right, that I wasn't learning properly, and that they didn't know, really. I mean, this is a question that sort of, and something that hangs in my mind even now, is that they weren't sure if I was incredibly bright or incredibly dumb.
Were you referred to anybody? Because there's one thing thinking this and having these conversations with perhaps the teaching staff in your school and them raising their own concerns. And there's another thing actually not getting anywhere, not getting any kind of diagnosis, not knowing what was going on.
No, I mean, there was no movement really in any direction. At one point in my schooling, I was actually referred by my mother, or my mother sort of put into action a private evaluation, just a pure IQ test, a general sort of assessment with a private psychologist, and my IQ came out pretty high, really, but you know, nothing else was explained beyond that. Everything else continued as usual, the difficulties, underachieving, and so on.
Can you tell me a little bit more about those difficulties?
I used to look out the window a lot. I used to be distracted a great deal. I used to look around the classroom. I used to just see stuff everywhere. You know, it was like, you know, the world was just, you know, every single part of it caught my attention, whether it was on the wall, outside the window. You know, my brain just wouldn't, you know, my mind just wouldn't stay on the task in hand. I just wouldn't complete stuff. You know, I would just be elsewhere, really.
When you left school, of course, ADHD doesn't go away. When you left school, what were your goals and aspirations and opportunities?
I couldn't really focus. You know, I didn't really know where I was going. You know, I went through the sort of school system. I got some O levels. I got some A levels, although, you know, I really did struggle to get them, and I never really understood why I was finding it so much harder and impossible than those around me. Beyond that, I did go to university, and I also struggled my way through that.
It's not just the act of learning and academia, but it's just day-to-day things that a person with ADHD really can struggle with.
Yeah, I mean, just general organisation is a real problem, yeah, a real practical problem. It's just, yeah, it's a bit of a sort of disconnect, I suppose. It's like I crave order, but I generate chaos. That's how I summarise it, really. You know, it's like this constant internal battle to get everything just right. You know, it's almost obsessive in a way, but, you know, just generate chaos.
You sound like a great person to be around, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the sort of flip side of it, you know, creativity is absolutely enormously part of my personality. I mean, if I could choose a career, I'd be an inventor in a shed. I have thousands of ideas. Every time I look at something, I see something that could be improved, could be invented, could be made better, could be turned into a business idea, but I have absolutely no skills whatsoever to put it into practice. So it's very frustrating.
What was it like to be diagnosed? After 47 years, Dan, you were diagnosed just 3 months ago.
Well, I'm still sort of, you know, working my way through it. You know, I started medication just before Christmas, and that was very successful. It was transformative, really.
Was it instantly transformative?
within 24 hours, I felt like an absolute, you know, like someone had just poured a different person into my body.
Dan, Rory Bremner talks so openly and candidly about his ADHD, and what he says is like it's been like his best friend and his worst enemy. When has ADHD been your worst enemy?
Well, sometimes at work I am given responsibilities that involve managing a small team, you know, keeping people in order, getting work done on time, making sure other people are doing what they're told, and it's like a multi-stranded task, and that completely flummoxes me. I'm a computer programmer by trade in the pharmaceutical industry, work on clinical trials, and I've done that for a long time, and as a programmer I'm very successful, but if you give me a multi-stranded management task, then it will just fall to pieces, and the stress of that has been enormous, and you know, I have given up jobs in the past where, you know, it's just become too much to, you know, when those sorts of responsibilities have been given to me.
Dan, I struggle to comprehend why it's taken 47 years for you to be diagnosed with ADHD. You must feel in a way a bit let down.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think methylphenidate or Ritalin has been available for a long time, I think since the 1950s. I'm not 100% sure, but certainly for a long time. So, yes, I mean, I guess over the years and decades, you know, sort of public awareness and medical awareness has changed quite a lot. But, you know, I have been through so many different diagnoses of depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder.
Have you been on the wrong drugs before?
I've been on many, many different drugs. And one of the problems is that it's difficult to know what is working, because, you know, some drugs will treat some aspects. You know, some will work with depression, some will work with anxiety and so on. So it's difficult to know what is, you know, what's working and what isn't. But certainly, you know, I've taken a lot of stuff that, you know, might have been not ideal.
Or detrimental to your health.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, if there are medicines, you know, that can make you feel less anxious, but also they totally dull you and make, you know, some medicines made it absolutely impossible for me to do a job. Although I struggled on to do it, but, you know, some things made it harder. Yeah, they made some things better, but, you know, at the same time made life more difficult in other ways.
That's Dan Linderbaum. You're going to hear more from Dan in just a few moments' time. If you've just joined us, welcome. But he's 47, diagnosed only about 3 months ago with ADHD, so he's lived all of his life with the struggles that come about with living with ADHD. And I think Dan really put it into context, actually, because he describes ADHD as craving order but generating chaos. He was diagnosed, all thanks, in fact, and at the new clinic in Oxford, the new ADHD clinic, and you'll hear more of his story in just a few moments. A couple of weeks ago, I went down to the opening of the new ADHD centre in the centre of Oxford. It was actually opened by the comedian and impressionist Rory Bremner, who also has ADHD, and in fact, he was only diagnosed about 4 years ago or so. And Dan has been telling us how he struggled over the years. I mean, he's 47. He knew something deep down wasn't right. But there have been, as you've been hearing, misdiagnoses over the years. And he describes his ADHD as really craving order, but generating chaos, which really, for me, puts it in context. Now, I suppose the clinic for him, breath of fresh air, really, and for many, many other people who are struggling to get this diagnosis. And he told me how important an ADHD clinic like this was in Oxford to people like him.
We found this centre 3 or 4 months ago, and within that time period, more has been achieved than has been achieved in 20 years of digging around with various consultants and diagnoses and misdiagnoses and so on. So, I mean, to have ADHD is quite a complex disease, and it can be quite hard to spot, and especially in an adult. So
How do you see it? You describe it as a disease. Its official term is a disorder.
Yes. I mean, a disorder is probably a better description. But
it's a disease if you're undiagnosed.
I mean, it's as disabling as a physical paralysis. Like you say, the crime aspect is certainly significant, because the frustration of being untreated, the turmoil of the mind is just absolutely horrendous. It tears you apart. It can send you in all sorts of directions, and I totally understand how people can end up in prison as a result of undiagnosed ADHD, especially as they become adults and are treated as criminals, really. I mean, that does happen. I personally have had some unpleasant experiences with the police, where I have been in an acute crisis, and it's very unpleasant being treated like that.
Were you arrested?
I was never arrested. I was sectioned once, but I was threatened with handcuffs should I kick off, as they said. And that actually makes you feel a hell of a lot worse, because that is really not what you need. You need help, you need understanding, and this centre here will no doubt raise awareness, because it's something that has come to me certainly in the past 3 or 4 months that it's been a real eye-opener. It's something that really is too low on the public radar. It's a really massive social problem.
It sounds like, Dan, as well, had you got a much, much earlier diagnosis in your life, it would have made a huge, huge difference to your life, and you'd have lived a much more normal life rather than having the challenges that you've had.
I'm sure. I mean, not just the academic challenges, but to struggle for such a long time not knowing why, if that would have been totally different, I imagine. Early diagnosis is critical, because I think the longer it goes on, the more it sort of morphs into different and more difficult to spot symptoms.
So that's what it's like to live with ADHD for 47 years undiagnosed. So thank you very much to Dan Lindebaum for telling his story so eloquently.